And if books and newspapers and the radio are efficiently controlled, the people will read and accept exactly what the few in control want them to.
Welcome to the Whisper Watch podcast. I hope you guys have had a great day.
Whisperwatch.com.
And what I really want to talk about in this podcast is the concept of being satisfied with incremental change or being satisfied with things that are only slightly better, as opposed to fighting for the great big idea or a set of ideas or ideologies that you actually want to see in place. Now, this sort of came to mind because President Barack Obama gave a speech at Howard University, the commencement speech that he gave that certain people are talking about. And there was a little shade there. There was a little shade. And there was some talk about him imploring people not to be satisfied with just highlighting a problem. Him trying to talk people into being part of the system and trying to mesh your ideology with the current system that's in place.
And you know what? I will take better every time. I always tell my staff, better is good. Because you consolidate your gains and then you move on to the next fight from a stronger position.
And I understand the incrementalist view. And that's what I'm going to call it. It's an incrementalist view. It's try to give up things in order to get a little something. But what it really is, and I'm just going to make it plain, it's him trying to talk you into being satisfied with slightly better things. Slightly better laws, slightly better systems, slightly better situations, sort of at the expense of working for fundamental, real, material change. The problem is the incremental changes, they can be undone just as quickly as they were implemented. You understand that you won't have power forever, right? You don't have forever in a day to make changes and then wait and then add something else to it and then wait and then add something else to it. That doesn't work in this system. Because you don't have and you don't hold power amongst yourself for an extended period of time to where you can thwart the enemies of whatever idea that you're trying to put into place. Because at some point, you will have to give up power to your enemy, if that's how you want to see it. You will have to give up power to the other side. You will have to give up power to people who don't agree with you. And if you don't know how to use power when you get it, you'll do these little incremental things. You'll make this little incremental change. And as soon as the people who disagree with you get power, and those, they are the Republicans. The Republicans know how to use power. When they get it, they try to put things into place that are so drastic that they want to try to make it as impossible as they can for somebody else later on to come down the line and change it. And for the life of me, I cannot understand why Democrats don't get that. Republicans don't play nice with you. They're not deferential to you. They're not deferential to your ideas. They don't give up half of what they're looking for so that they can try to bring you on board their train, their ideology. When they have power, they use it. So you as a Democrat, for you not to be doing everything in your power to get as much done as humanly possible while you can, while you have the power to do it, I'm not going to okay that. I ain't going to rubber stamp that. I'm not going to act like that's just fine. No, it ain't fine. It ain't. Because like I said, once the people who disagree with you, once they get into office, it makes it that much easier for them to change exactly what you put into place. You only implemented these little things that nibbled around the edges, and so they only have to take that off and then roll the clock back with their agenda, with their plans, with their ideas. And for the longest time, in different ways, you see all of these Democrats or the Democratic Party in general being psyched into accepting the smallest amount of change possible by tailoring their behaviors, by tailoring the things that they're asking for based on the temperament and the temper tantrums of the people that they keep trying to compromise with. Those people, the Republicans, they're trying to keep you from making these big changes. They're going to throw temper tantrums to try to keep you from asking for everything you want. So when you have power, Democrats, you need to use it. You already see the consequences of having the GOP in power all in states all around this country. They have power, honey, and they have been using it. unapologetically, aggressively, without flinching. They are trying to make this country into what they want it to be. That is the only thing that I can respect about these people. When they do that, they know how to use power. Now, they use it for dastardly purposes, but they still know how to use it. Apparently, Democrats can be easily guilted into not fighting for everything they want. They've been brainwashed or talked into believing that if they do want to fight for everything they want, then they're just being childish, that they're not being the adults in the room, that they're not being realistic. Apparently now with these Democrats, it's unrealistic to want to make this country a better place by changing the system and doing it unapologetically, doing it without flinching, without blinking, doing it and not feeling sorry and trying to mollify or coddle the people on the other side. And the more I think about it, the more I'm wondering if these Democrats in power, if these establishment Dems are simply satisfied with checking off a little list of things to address. You know what I mean? So they can have it on their resume. Yeah, I did something about this. I did something about that chick. I did something about this chick. I did something about that chick. Yeah, but what did you do about it? And was it effective, whatever you did? I have a fundamental disagreement with those who want me to be satisfied with just a little bit better things. Want me to be satisfied with slightly better laws and incremental changes, and instead of working to implement real substantial changes that positively affect the lives of millions of people. I mean, in any other context, does that really work? Maybe, but we're talking about politics. Politics affects the lives of millions and millions of people, not just Americans, people around the world as well. Think about this. Like, if you're a guy and someone punches you in the nuts 5 times a day, okay, and an incremental change is made saying that you can only get punched in the nuts 3 times a day, technically that's better. Technically, change has happened. But at the end of the day, honey, you're still getting punched in the nuts 3 times a day. I mean, what? You have to look at the big picture. Instead of working to change the system, you want people to be satisfied with being slightly less uncomfortable. See, this is my problem with incrementalism. Either things have to change and they need to change, or they don't. And these people who want you to be satisfied with the 3 times a day nut punches, they want to discard your complaints and characterize you as being childish for not being satisfied with that change. You see what I'm saying? I am just over it. I am over this namby-pamby satisfied with just a little bit. I'm over that. That is a strategy that has never worked for Democrats, because again, like I say, you do your little thing, and then once you lose power, Republicans come in and completely take it way further than you could ever dream of, because you had no backstop to keep that from happening. You had nothing to give people. You had nothing to spur people. You had nothing to motivate people to get out and fight to protect. Because what did you do when you had power? You passed these little things and people were like, oh, that's good, that's great. And there was nothing motivating them to get out and vote and make sure that they protect. I just don't think that I will ever be in a place where I agree with this notion of incremental change and working inside the system and then that's it. No. Sorry, Barack Obama. But no. Back in a minute.
We'll be right back after the break. Please stay tuned. People with power, money, and connections are controlling the entire system. Follow the Twitter account WhisperWatch for more information. The oligarchical class of douches wouldn't hesitate to poison your children if that meant 15 more cents in profit for the year. Follow the Twitter account WhisperWatch for more information. Some Republicans don't want smaller government. They want to use governmental power to enforce racism, sexism, and xenophobia. Follow the Twitter account at WhisperWatch for more information. The media should stop pretending like they don't know what to do with Donald Trump. follow the Twitter account, Whisper Watch, for more information.
Bear this in mind. Young people cannot be trusted to form their own opinions. This business about open-mindedness is nonsense. It's a waste of time trying to teach students to think for themselves. It's our job to tell them.
If you think that the only way forward is to be as uncompromising as possible, you will feel good about yourself. You will enjoy a certain moral purity. But you're not going to get what you want. And if you don't get what you want long enough, you will eventually think the whole system is rigged.
Welcome back. Let me tell you something. I don't want to hear any more whining from establishment Democrats, from Democratic Party loyalists who try to characterize people who want to stand up for their ideas as whiners, as complainers, as being childish, as being stupid. They don't know the system. They want it their way. They want free stuff. All of this condescending. I don't do that anymore. I no longer accept that from you. And if you are not that type of person who does that, then I ain't talking to you. So calm down. I'm specifically talking to the people who see young people, millennials, or people who identify as progressives and liberals as being childish, as being as somehow being deserving of ridicule instead of being people who deserve to be listened to, because they will be some of your best, most steadfast, staunchest supporters if they know that they can trust you will fight for them and with them and what they want to accomplish. And you see it all day, every day in this Democratic primary between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, where a lot of the Clinton people are, you know, super condescending. Just super condescending. Every time somebody tries to talk about X, Y, and Z, it's, oh, you just want free stuff. Oh, you don't understand the system. Oh, you're just childish. You're just immature. You're just pouting. You're just bitter. And I'm like, these are the people that you will need to help you win an election. So number one, you're shooting yourself in the foot. You're losing sight of the battle to come because you're too busy trying to win an argument with somebody on Twitter. You'll win the battle and lose the war. These are all people that you will need in the future. So again, I don't know how to keep imploring the Clinton supporters to calm down on their rhetoric now. Stop it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Because your candidate, if she wants to actually defeat a Donald Trump who has the media on his side, a media who's willing to turn over hours at a time of coverage to him for free, she's going to need those people to get out and vote. And if they have seen nothing but condescension and arrogance and hatefulness from her supporters or from her campaign, then they have no incentive of coming out and supporting you. It'll just be whatever it's going to be. And they'll just have 1,001 other things to do on election day. So understand the precarious position you are in once you start to go in on people that you want to characterize as bitter or pouting or immature or childish or whatever. And when they talk about changing the system, that's a very real thing. You just have a fundamental difference of opinion. Your ideologies are completely different. That doesn't mean that one is better than the other, but we have seen the results of incrementalism. Okay. And for whatever reason, they are bringing up things that you need to pay attention to, because if everything was fine, then they wouldn't be so agitated. And at least half of the Democratic Party wouldn't be so f***ing agitated if everything was fine. So apparently they're calling attention to something that you need to pay attention to, particularly the millennials, because they're getting it right now. They're going through it right now. Some of them just graduated from college and those student loan bills are starting to kick them in the ass right now. That means that their credit is shaky. That means that they can't get a mortgage, which probably means they're living with somebody, a relative or their parents. That means they can't have a life the way they want it. They can't start a family the way they want it. They can't, you know, probably can't afford the type of vehicle they want. All of these things are connected. So when this millennial generation is telling you that there is something fundamentally wrong with the system as it is now, you need to pay attention to that. One thing Bernie Sanders does understand is that they are the future of this nation. And if their lives are terrible right now, I can guarantee you they won't be satisfied with establishment blahness, which is a very bad thing because y'all apparently, if the media's psychic predictions hold up and the math, the wayward math that includes superdelegates hold up, then the Democratic Party is about to nominate the most establishment blahness candidate in a while now, because, you know, Barack Obama's on the way out. Barack Obama was, when he was running for president, we thought Barack Obama was the candidate that Bernie Sanders has actually turned out to be. But what we didn't pay attention to was the nuances. And at least I didn't. I didn't pay attention to the fact that Barack Obama was still raising millions and millions of dollars from Wall Street. So he was never going to be the type of candidate that Bernie Sanders is right now. That was never going to happen. And of course, we've seen the results of that. It's incrementalism. It's being satisfied with the system as it is. It's more of the establishment type of thinking. And that's great if you want that resume to be blinging. If you want that resume to be popping, that's great. If you want things to be great on paper, that's great. But again, a lot of things still need to be changed. And when somebody says that, the last thing they want to hear in response is that you're just being childish. You're just being childish for not wanting to turn over your life to a creditor for 30 years. You're just being childish. And I'm talking about student loans. You're just being childish for not thinking that Obamacare is the most awesomest thing if you are a red state Dem who doesn't make enough money to qualify for the Obama subsidy. You're just being childish that you don't have it. You should focus on being happy for the people who do have it, even though you are still out of luck, even though you are still up creek without a paddle. And nobody was in the room having a plan B to help you just in case. Nobody had a plan B for you. So, you know, but you're ticked off. So you're just being childish. You're just being bitter. Barack Obama is awesome. He's God. Everything's wonderful. Don't you say nothing bad about Barack Obama. Somebody actually said that to me. That's an actual quote. Don't you say nothing bad about Barack Obama. I'm like, who I look like? What is this, underground? What is this, 12 years a slave? You don't tell me what to say about anybody. You don't control this mouth. And when I see something that I don't like and I don't particularly agree with, I'm going to open my mouth and you just going to have to be mad. Because the fact is, there still remains a lot of things to be changed. God bless him. He did the best job he could have possibly done given the circumstances and given his ideology, given the fact that he believes that you work in the system. You work in incremental baby steps. You work to build something. And then maybe 10, 15, 20, 30, 35, 50 years in the future, another Democrat will come in and build it up more. Ain't nobody got time for that. People don't have the time required for that type of thinking anymore. That's why Bernie Sanders was able to catch fire during this Democratic primary. A lot of people who support Bernie Sanders needed change 10 years ago, 15 years ago. A lot of the new generation who are supporting Bernie Sanders are catching right now. They need change right now. Those student loans are kicking them in right now. They're working minimum wage jobs with a degree right now. And then they're being told by the establishment that you just have to wait. Change can't come about this way, this quickly. You're just going to have to be satisfied. And if you're not satisfied, then you're childish and you want free stuff. Like I always say, when somebody confronts me with this argument, my response basically is, God, I'm glad Abraham Lincoln was not an incrementalist. He'd have been cutting side deals and saying, well, you know, we're not going to abolish slavery. That's out of the question. We can't do that. Let's just say, you know, let's just make them work and be slaves for 6 months out of the year instead of the whole year. Or let's just let them be slaves up until the age of 30. And then once they turn 30, they'll only be slaves for 6 months out of the year. And then when they turn 40, it'll be only 3 months out of the year. Or some mess like that. Ain't nobody got time for that. When a change needed to be made, it had to be made in full. You had to go for the full thing. You couldn't do little incremental, well, I'll be satisfied with this, and then I'll be satisfied with that, and then maybe I can work for this, and maybe I... Because you will never have power long enough to actually do everything you need to do to get it to where you need it to be. And I have continued to make this point to people who continue not to understand it. if you are comfortable right now, then congratulations to you. But that also makes you less likely to want drastic change. That makes you more likely to want things to stay the way they are because you are prospering currently in this system. Everything's fine for you. So why wouldn't you want to just continue Barack Obama's policies? Everything's fine for you. You have a job where you can pay off all your bills and still be able to live and get a mortgage and get a house and go and buy things exactly when you want to buy them. You may not be Beyonce and Jay-Z rich, but you got what you need in order to live a decent, wonderful life and pursue your goals. If you want to start a business, you can do that. If you want to move to a different state, you can do that. If you want to go overseas for a vacation, you can do that. So everything's comfortable for you. But what I am telling you, things are not comfortable for everybody, particularly poor people in this country who don't even live long. They don't live as long as the people who are rich. So they don't even have the amount of time that you are trying to tell them to wait. You see what I'm saying? This is why Bernie Sanders is so popular during this Democratic primary. This is why he made it a race. This is why he made it a contest that the media didn't predict. Because despite the numbers on paper, everyday people, particularly if they're poor, is still catching it. They're still catching it. They are still catching it from all sides. And no, not everything can be blamed on Barack Obama. But not everything can be blamed on the people who didn't show up during the midterm elections either.
In 2012, nearly 2 in 3 Americans, African Americans, turned out. And then in 2014, only 2 in 5 turned out. You don't think that made a difference in terms of the Congress I've got to deal with? And then people are wondering, well, how come Obama hadn't gotten this done? How come he didn't get that done? You don't think that made a difference?
Because they had a Democratic Party who didn't give them a reason to get out and vote. And I've already written about this. Don't come in my face telling me nothing if you didn't give your base a reason to get out and vote for you. I said this before, I will say this again. Democrats respond to hope and the idea that they can actually make real change. That's what we respond to. That's what we get out and vote for. That's what we support. Republicans respond to fear. Your Democratic base responds to hope, i.e. why Bernie Sanders is as popular as he is. I don't know what it's going to have to take to talk some sense into y'all asses, but y'all need to get this. Hear me. Hear all of these progressives who are talking to you. Hear all of these liberals who are giving you advice instead of ignoring them and being condescending towards them and saying that they're just being childish because they want free stuff from a government that routinely gives free stuff to rich people and multinational corporations, by the way. But instead of dismissing those people, understand that they have very real concerns and try to address them in a very real way. Don't just say, yeah, I hear you, and then go right on doing what you was gonna do to begin with. So no, I am not satisfied. I am no longer satisfied with just things being slightly better than they used to be. That's not cute. That's not cool. And as I get older, I'm really seeing that based on what has happened before, incrementalism just does not work. It doesn't work, honey, because your team doesn't have power long enough to actually get to the top of the mountain, to actually get to the goal. You don't have power enough for a long enough period of time to do these little baby steps. Once you have power, you have to go full force. You have to go for the full thing. And I just don't understand why the Democratic establishment does not understand that.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. There's more where this came from. You can listen to the Whisper Watch podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn. You can also subscribe to Whisper Watch on YouTube.com, if that's more convenient for you. Don't forget to share our podcasts with your online communities. It's free, and only takes a few seconds. Whisper will talk to you again soon. Thanks for listening.